Welcome to the Intertidal Talks podcast. I am Kendra, marine biologist and your host. This podcast is meant to teach, inform, and entertain you about all things marine science and conservation. If you are a marine scientist or advocate with a story to share, you can contact me at intertidaltalks@gmail.com. Want to join our marine science community? Join us at patreon.com/kendi_marinebio. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Intertidal Talks podcast. Today, I'm really excited because I'm here with a guest that I technically recorded with like a year ago, and then that episode never came out. Whoopsies on my part. But it's going to happen now, and that is Jill Corey. Will you introduce yourself?
Hello. Hi, everyone. My name is Jill. I use she, her pronouns. I am super excited to be here today and re-record and get to chat with you.
I'm so happy. This one, it's happening.
this one's going to go well. This one, everything's going to go right with this one.
It's going to go perfect. I'm going to like remember to edit and post it and then not be like, oops, it's a little too late. Because the last one, the problem was we talked about Olivia Rodrigo's album, Sour, for a good chunk of it.
That had just been released.
And by the time... new. Literally by the time I was like, oh, I guess I could release this. I was like, I'm going to have to re-edit this and cut out this super awkward part where we're like, stream Olivia Rodrigo constantly.
I mean, still stream Olivia Rodrigo.
Still, it was my number one like artist in an album of the year last year. But it was just going to be awkward. So I was like, let's just re-record.
I feel like a lot of things have changed in general. So
exactly.
Absolutely.
We'll update.
And like, something just changed. Well, in both of our lives, but like, I feel like I have good updates now. Yeah.
Exactly. That's why we're here. So, Jill, where are you from and what made you love marine science?
Loaded question right off the bat. I love it. I am from one of the smaller provinces in Canada called New Brunswick. Very, very East Coast. We're part of the Atlantic provinces. It's a fantastic place. I love it. And it's got a lot of coastline, which is super, super awesome. It's where the Bay of Fundy is, which is like my biggest flex. Like today, it's my, anytime I go anywhere, I'm like, I'm from the Bay of Fundy, because the Bay of Fundy has the highest tides in the entire world. So that's pretty impressive. So I grew up around those, but I also like, I grew up in the middle of the province. So I was very landlocked, but I was very lucky to grow up right on a lake, like right outside my back door, there's a lake, which is like potentially the luckiest I could be. And I grew up like swimming in the lake every summer, really fell just in, like in love with the water. I was terrified of fish. I'm going to say was and act like I'm not still currently a little scared of fish. I love them. But I would like chase them around and then like panic when they turned around and acknowledged me and like swim away as fast as I could. But I always kind of was like, wow, the water is so cool. And like, this sounds so morbid. This is, your listeners are going to judge me so much for this little story. But if there was ever like a dead fish that washed up, I would take my mom's kitchen knife and like cut it open to be like, okay, this is like stomach. This is spine. Like I would like dissect these dead fish. And then my mom would promptly throw out her kitchenware because she's like, you just can't get it clean. But I always kind of like was super interested in like the water life, like aquatic life. And it was never specific like marine versus freshwater or anything. I just was like, this is so cool that there's life underwater. And I remember like midway through high school, I learned that it could like actually be a career, and I just didn't have to think it was like cool. And I was like, whoa, this is the best news I've ever heard. And so I ended up going to a marine science camp, which every time I say it, I'm like, I sound like the biggest nerd there absolutely is out there. So I'm like, I went to this week-long marine bio camp and it was the best. But it really is what like sold me on marine bio. And I remember my parents, like my dad was like, okay, you're gonna go to this camp for a week, that's like this many dollars, So we can either, like, you can decide if you hate it before we pay for tuition, like pay thousands of dollars for your undergrad in this. And I think he was kind of hoping that it would, like, deter me a little bit. It very much so did the opposite. And I came home and I was like, I want to do this for the rest of my life. This is the coolest thing ever. And so I was very lucky to grow up in an area where I had access to these super awesome coastlines and to learn about, like, the tides and intertidal areas. Like, we have this huge intertidal area with all these intertidal species. And then I was also super lucky to grow up with, like, the freshwater right behind me. So I just have been a water baby my whole life. Like, I think during the summers, I spent 95% of my time swimming or in the water of some sort. So it was kind of, like, inevitable, really. I knew I was going to end up here.
Do you think your mom thought you were going to be, like, a serial killer or a scientist? She was like, she killing animals because she wants to kill people? Or is she just, like, a curious little child?
I feel like it really could have gone either way. I would like to clarify that any fish I caught open were previously dead. I did not kill any fish. My mom's going to, like, listen to this and be like, no, I vividly remember her killing fish. But mom, no, I did not. I only
feel like listening to true crime podcasts, I'm like, if this is my kid, I'd be like, oh, I love your natural curiosity, but also like, oh my God, is my child going to kill someone?
No more knives. I think my mom was less upset about me cutting up animals and more upset about me using, like, her good kitchen knives to do so. Because I wouldn't ask. I'd just run in, like, open the silverware drawer and, like, grab them and, like, run out.
Go. I was like, little Jill running in, just, like, grabbing things and just running out. And she's like, crap. Not again.
Running with knives. Literally her good, like, kitchen dishes, too, because I'd, like separate things. Like, I was like, okay, I think this is the stomach, so I'm going to put it in here and, like, separate things. My mom lost so many dishes to my scientific curiosity.
I love that. I feel like the only thing I ever did with a dead fish was I caught fish with my grandparents in high school, and then afterwards when we were, like, gutting them, I was like, hey, can we collect all the blood? Because I read online that blood and hydrogen peroxide turn into, like, a foam. And so she was like, sure. And so as we're, like, gutting all these trout, I'm, like, collecting all the blood. And then we go outside and I went and bought a whole thing of hydrogen peroxide at, like, the little store down the road. It's, like, a super, like, little town that has a general store and that's it. And then I'm sitting there with a bowl of blood.
That's where I grew up.
And then a thing of hydrogen peroxide, and I just, like, dunk it in and it all turns into a foam. And I think I think there's a video of this somewhere, and I put it to, like, a Maroon 5 song and, like, spit it out.
The Maroon 5 song.
And then I think I touched it. I think I started, like, touching it and being like, and my mom was always like, that's really gross. And I never got why. I'm like, it's cool. I don't know what's going on. Why is the blood turning into foam? It was just a genuine, like, I saw this thing on Tumblr and now I want to try it.
Our moms fully had concern about us as a kid involving this.
And I sent him, and yeah, my mom wasn't even there. I just sent videos and they're like, what the heck? And I was like, yeah, we gutted all the fish and I, like, turned the blood into foam with hydrogen peroxide. She's like,
I think that's absolutely hilarious.
And then all that was left was like a giant blood clot.
Amazing.
I still don't know why it turns to foam. Still confused. I didn't learn anything, but it looked cool.
Me, my entire undergrad. That sums up my undergrad right there.
I had no idea what was going on, but it looked cool.
Everything looked so cool. No idea why, though.
I looked so cool. Don't know what I was doing.
I don't even know if I can say that. I definitely did not. I could never do live fish, though. They always, like, I was scared of them. I knew they couldn't hurt me, but I was always so scared of, like, fish biting me. And, like, I remember one of my best friends in, like, elementary, middle, and high school, I grew up in a very, very small town. So, like, the people you went to kindergarten with, you also graduated with. Like, you were with the same people forever. And I remember she lived on another lake and she was, like, telling me about this, I can't remember what kind of fish it was, pickerel maybe. And she's like, yeah, they have these massive teeth. And I was like, that's it. I hate fish. I'm done. Get me out.
I will never fish again. No, thank you.
Literally. I would, like, go fishing with my dad very rarely, mostly because I am a very go, go, go person and fishing is a lot of wait, wait, wait. So I wasn't very good at the waiting and also not talking part. But even, like, we'd catch a fish and I was like, okay, dad, take it off the hook and throw it back right now. Like, we didn't keep it. Like, I was like, take it off and put it back. Take it off, And there's like, I think it's my mom's favorite photo, especially since I went and studied marine science and marine biology. There's a picture of me like holding a fish at age 9, and I'm like holding it away from me, and you can see like this like pure terror on my face. I'm like, and it's just like, I think mom had it framed at my grad party when I graduated from university, because she's like, this is just iconic that you're terrified of fish, and yet
that's amazing.
Went to study marine biology.
Yeah, well, and I worked in a lab, and I had to kill fish a few times just because they get sick to a point, and you're just like, R.I.P. babes. And I never got bit though. No, we didn't hit them.
Biggest fear.
We would there's a little trick for all y'all. We would do clove oil.
So, interesting.
Yeah, they put them in a separate bucket. I'm pretty sure this is like one of the most humane ways to kill a fish. So so people would come into the lab and be like, why do you guys have so much clove essential oil? Like, we're all just granola girls. No, we murder fish with those. But yeah, you put them in like a bucket or a separate bowl, and then you slowly add clove oil. And first it puts them to sleep. And then if you do too much, it'll kill them. So like we've used it a separate time to put a fish to sleep to then trim its teeth, because his teeth were growing. Because Tobies and pufferfish have like those two teeth, and they weren't trimming. Like they weren't going down, and it was starting to be a problem. And so we had to put him to sleep.
He had buck teeth.
Mm-hmm. And then we had to trim him with, like, I think we might have used nail pliers because we didn't have anything else. And we saw this on YouTube. We saw someone else do it with a pufferfish and like Toby's on YouTube. Like, if they're not eating things that are hard enough to break their teeth, or whatever they're eating, just like, even if it's hard enough, it's just not doing it.
Yeah.
You're going to have to do it yourself. And I was like, well, I guess we better try it, or else he's just going to get overgrown teeth and it's just going to be worse for him. And it worked.
Oh, no.
But we were like, we were still paranoid that maybe we added too much. Like, we followed and we tried, like, we didn't want to, but yeah, we got it. He lived. But yeah, if you do too much, you can kill him.
I love a success story.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. I did have to end up facing my fears of fish. I worked at an aquarium, and so I did face my fears. Obviously, becoming a marine biologist, I did also face my fears, but I feel like the aquarium.
You see a fish at one point. You're just going to see a fish at some point.
You're going to have to. You can avoid it as much as you try. Like, you can try and avoid it as much as you can.
They find you.
Every course at university is just fish. Everything is fish.
Fish, 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 fish.
Love it.
Speaking of undergrad, where did you go for your undergrad, and what was that like?
My undergrad was quite possibly the best thing that ever happened to me, actually. You know, when things like go wrong to the point where they all work out even better than they could have, that was my undergrad in every way possible. So originally, when I was in high school, there's not a lot of places in Atlantic Canada that study marine biology. There's Dal and UMBSJ, and I think a couple other places have, and MUN, I guess, but I don't think Newfoundland is considered Atlantic provinces or maritime. They're Atlantic province, just not maritime. It's one of those. Forgive me if I'm wrong. But there's like three in Atlantic Canada, which for a small area is pretty good. But my number one choice was Dalhousie in Halifax. Like, I wanted to go to Dal so bad. And I had already been accepted to UND, which is like the main school in New Brunswick. And there's two schools. Like, there's UMB Fredericton and then UMB St. John, which is where I ended up going, is UMB St. John. But I wanted, like, I'd been accepted, so I was like, okay, perfect. It's my backup. And I wanted so badly to go to Dal because it was like this big city, huge campus. Like, I ideally would have gone to Australia for my undergrad. I told my parents I wanted to go to Australia. And my dad is like, no way. And I was like, no, we'll see. It was hilarious now, but I wanted to go to Dal so bad. And I think, I'm not sure what happened, but like, long story short, my transcript was due on a Wednesday and my high school didn't send it in until Friday. And so they're like, oh, we can't, like, you can apply next year, but we can't take you this year. And I was brokenhearted. Like, I was so upset. And I didn't let on to, like, I don't think people knew how much I wanted to go to Dal. Like, it was very much like, oh, yeah, I can't go. But it worked out. I ended up playing basketball at UMB St. John my first year and taking marine science. And after my first year, I was like, okay, I still love basketball, but I need to focus more on school. Like, I definitely struggled a lot balancing, like, full-time varsity sport with school and like maintaining that. And so like my grades were struggling and it was kind of like a little bit, oh, and you get into general marine science and you're kind of learning about all the different ways you can take it and you're like, this is a lot. Like there's so many different things I could do here. There's so much going on. And I went into my marine science being like, I want to study whales, as every single young woman does at some point. I think we all went through that like dolphin phase where we were like, I'm going to be a dolphin trainer when I grow up. And then like, I was like, I want to study whales. I would tell that to like profs and everything. And I will never forget the end of my second year. One of my profs like asked me what I was thinking about doing. And I was like, I'd really like to study whales. And she was like, okay, like you won't. And I was like, well, what do you mean by that? And she's like, it's incredibly competitive. You need to be like, you need to understand that there's a good chance you won't do it. And I was like, but I really want to. And so I had like this little identity crisis of like, okay, I need to find something else in marine science that I really like. And I didn't. Everything else, I was like, this is still really cool, but like, I love whales. Like, I love whales. And so one day I just decided, I was like, nope, I'm going to study whales. I'm going to do it. Sorry, that's the end of story. I'm going to do it. And I ended up doing 5 years at UMB St. John. And by the end of it, I had gotten a couple really great opportunities. In 2018, I got an opportunity to go to Spain to do some research with the bottlenose dolphin research institute. And I had worked with an aquarium the year before. And I came back that summer after working with the BDRI and was like, wow, I love this. I love whales even more than I thought I did, like cetaceans in general. Like, I love them. And being on a boat every day, this is the best thing that could ever happen to me. So I quit my summer job at the aquarium. And I was like, hey guys, I love you. I'm going to go do something else real quick. And I ended up working for a whale watching company. And I ended up working for them for 4 summers. And it quite possibly was one of my favorite jobs I've ever worked, getting to see the whales every day. And it really like solidified to me, like, this is what I want to do. And so coming up to where I graduated, it kind of felt like I thought back to like everything that went wrong of like not getting into my dream school, not thinking I was going to be able to study whales, and then finally being like, no, this is what I want to do. My undergrad was my favorite thing that ever, like, it just worked out so perfectly in the way it did. And like, it really, like, what I loved about my undergrad is like, I ended up going to a very small school. Like, I'm not sure off the top of my head, like how many students we have, but like, it's quite a small, like we're a very small, close-knit community type school, which was really great because your profs kind of get to know you as like a person rather than a number. And you can go to them for help and be like, hey, I didn't understand this. And like, they'll sit down, like they know you. And it's really great. It was really helpful and really kind of like changed the game for me in terms of like understanding things that I feel like I would have struggled with, and like gave me opportunities to learn different ways. And we had some awesome teachers and awesome labs. And we have this semester, we call it the Marine semester, and we go to St. Andrews, which is a small town in New Brunswick. Pretty much every town in New Brunswick is a small town. We only have like 3 cities, 4 cities, but it's this little small town. You're in the middle of nowhere and you get to stay on the ocean. You go out on boats. It's all semester. And it's a short semester, but it's jam packed. Like, you have 4 courses and you do like a course a week kind of thing. Like, you'll go out and collect the data on Monday and your lab report of the data analysis will be due by Thursday. So everything is like crunch time kind of thing. Your body's in exam mode for the whole semester, which is like terrifying. Like, I don't think I slept until the semester was over, but like, was so worth it. And it just like, it gave you so many opportunities to learn about different aspects of the ocean and different aspects of marine science. And we're so fortunate to have, like I mentioned earlier, this huge intertidal space. So we got to like hands-on, which definitely gave me this huge appreciation for like intertidal species and then like pelagic species. And we even got to do like some benthic studies with boats out there. And like, you grow up around it and you don't really appreciate it, but then you like get to actually study it. You're like, wow, this is so cool. And like, I stopped hating fish just a little bit through my undergrad. They're still not my favorite, but you know, I like whales.
Understandably. And important question. As people may see on the cover of this podcast episode, you are cradling a dead shark. Can you explain this photo? What's going on?
That's my son. He doesn't have a name. He is unnamed. He was one of my labs with quite possibly my all-time favorite teacher, Barb. I will be emailing this podcast to Barb so she can hear the story and laugh about it. It was biology of verts, and we were doing dissections, and we came in and there was dogfish set out for each of us, and Barb left the room, and I was like, wow, this is so cute, and I have a picture of me kissing it. I will also send you. But I picked it up and was holding it in my arms like a child, rocking it back and forth. And right, I was making jokes with my friends, and we were standing right by the door where that's just where our lab bench was, and Barb walks in right as I was yeah, motherhood's treating me really well, but he's not sleeping super great. And Barb is a notoriously serious, hard prof. And she just busted out laughing. And I was like, hey, Barb. And she just she could not stop laughing. And it was just a very good moment. It was very funny. It's my son. I love him. He's the best. He is my favorite person. Dogfish? Yeah, favorite dogfish.
Yeah, dissected.
I love him. But it was definitely of course, Barb would walk in right at this moment of me cradling a dogfish like a newborn.
I love it.
Of course she would. I got an A on the lab, so that's all that matters.
There you go. I love it. I just love that photo. It's so funny. And
so funny.
Now, what are you doing now? What's going on with Miss Whale Lover, Miss Jill Corey, in the year 2022?
Oh my gosh, it's 2022. That's so wild because I graduated university in May of 2020. So I feel I've had 2 years of not a lot happening. You and I have talked about this, where when you're not in the middle of studying or involved in the ocean or marine science in some way, it can kind of feel why do I even like this? Why do I want to do this? And so
possible to get back in the game after being benched for so long.
You're what is the ocean? I've never heard of it actually. So in the summer of 2019, I was very, very lucky and got an opportunity to go down to the Gold Coast of Australia, right below Brisbane, and work with this amazing group called Humpbacks and High Rises. And specifically Dr. Olaf Manica, which I'm so happy I got the chance to meet him. Pretty much I emailed him. I was searching whale internship opportunities, and Humpbacks and High Rises came up, and I emailed Olaf and I was hi, are you looking for an intern? Because I would like to. And he was I'm not sure. And I was here is why I would be great. He's okay, we'll work something out. And I was awesome, I'll be there this date. And just kind of went to work with them and fell in love with the work I was doing, which was matching tail flukes and identifying different whales, those humpback whales. And I just loved what I was doing because I got to, number one, be in Australia, first of all. That's just end of sentence right there, the best. But I got to spend my days looking at humpback whales and looking at their flukes. So humpback whales are so cool, where they have their tails, they raise their fluke tails out of the water as they dive. And you can always see this beautiful picturesque, it's the picture you see everywhere of whales, of their flukes coming out, their tail out of the water. When you search whale tail, it's going to be that photo. And the humpbacks are really cool because the bottom of their flukes are all individual. There's no two that have the exact same. It's fingerprints on humans. And so using photos of those, you can identify these whales and find track them almost. And so I was working on doing that. And at the end of it, Olaf was hey, would you like to come back? And I was hell yes, I would, please. And I was he's great. And I was by the way, I still have another year of school left. So I went and I finished out my school, graduated in 2020, right into a pandemic. Great timing on my part. Truly, truly couldn't have picked a better time to graduate, and started looking into applying to Griffith University to work with Olaf again. And basically everything just went so wrong for a year and a half about applying. I got rejected the first time I applied. I felt I would never, we were in the middle of a pandemic. Would I even be allowed to go to Australia? Would I ever get this opportunity? Would I ever get to do this? And then I'm just going to find a date of when I found out. I remember getting rejected in November. No, I got rejected in September of I'm trying to think of a timeline here. I'm really struggling. I got rejected, and then I reapplied for almost a different program, and I got accepted in November of 2020. Yeah, November of 2020. And they were like, great. You're coming, you're starting in March of 2021. And I was like, sick, this is awesome. I'm ready to go. It's a 1-year program. So I start March 2021, I'll finish October 2021. Awesome. No, didn't happen. Absolutely not. Since I couldn't get there for March and they couldn't work out how, like, it just, virtual wouldn't work for certain reasons. So they were like, okay, you're gonna have to take a leave of absence. And I was like, awesome, that's not gonna mess up anything. It messed up everything, including like student loans, financial, like everything. But I ended up starting virtually in July of 2021 and loved it. So I started doing my honors down there, and my honors is looking at some really cool stuff. So I was talking about, like, obviously it's humpback whales. I don't think I mentioned that, but that's what I love, is humpback whales. And what I'm doing for my honors is we're using this really, really cool software called Happy Whale, which is, every time I think about my honors, like, nothing feels real about it, because I'm using a software called Happy Whale. And what it does is I take these photos of humpback whale flukes collected from like 2012 to 2019. So I have like thousands of photos, and I'll upload them to Happy Whale. And then I get to go through and be like, yes, this is a match. No, this isn't a match. Yes, this is the same whale. And if it's a new whale, I get to give it its own personal ID. And we're still kind of like figuring out what I'm going to do with my data until I have all my data collected, because I like don't know exactly what I'll get for data. But ideally what I'll look at is like to track the whales and like figure out, we know where they're going, but we're looking specifically at Gold Coast Bay versus Hervey Bay, figuring out which whales are making stops in both bays, and then how long they're staying in like Gold Coast Bay, and then how long they're staying in Hervey Bay, and like kind of compare the two of them. And like ideally we'd be able to do a bunch of different stuff with that, looking at specific individuals, how long they're staying, looking at population as a whole. And so there's a lot of really cool data that we're like picking out right now. So I'm really excited to see where we go with it. I actually am hopefully going to be in Australia pretty soon, within like the next month or so, which is like, I'm so excited. Hopefully I'll get down there and I will be continuing that. And I should be roughly done by October 2022. But so everything got a little delayed, but we're back on track and everything is perfect.
Oh, that's good. Yay. Going to Australia.
Finally.
What drew you to humpback whales? Was it more like an opportunistic thing? Like that was what was open and you were doing, or did you specifically want to do humpbacks?
I think it was a little bit of both, really, because I would have taken any whale. Like I just love whales in general. So like if there was an opportunity to study like finback whales that I fell in love with, I would be like, absolutely. But humpback whales have always, like, since I started working on the whale watching boat, humpback whales have had my heart. And I feel like it's pretty hard for them not to. Like, they're known as like the clowns of the sea. They are so personable, and like it's a life-changing experience to be on a boat and have a humpback whale that is interacting with you, because they are like, it really makes you realize how intelligent cetaceans are as like a whole. And like these humpback whales they're looking at you. They're checking you out. They're interested in you and they're playing with you. Like they'll roll upside down. They'll show you their pec fins, which is the longest appendage of any animal. They can grow up to 16 feet of their pec fins. And so like they're these huge animals and they're just so funny. And like, I feel like they're like the dogs of the sea. Like they're big puppies is what I always say, because they're so interested in you, but also at the same time they're like, I have my own life, like you're cool, I want to see what's about you, but I'm gonna continue on with this. And so getting to spend time with like the whales on the boat and everything kind of really drew me to them. And then so getting a chance to like pursue studying them has really been like the best opportunity I could imagine. Like it truly, like I would have studied any whale, but I'm so excited that it's humpback.
Love that. And then can you talk a little bit about what Happy Whale is?
Happy Whale is quite possibly the coolest software ever invented. I need to give the biggest shout out to Dr. Ted Cheeseman right now. He has been the most patient human with me possibly ever. I think if I searched his name in my emails, there'd be like 4,000 of me being like, hey, question. or him being like, hey, do this instead. But it's a super, super cool software that's being developed. And what's super awesome about it is it's not just for scientists. It can utilize citizen science in a way. I haven't played around with the citizen science side a lot of it yet because I'm using like the specific admin side. But it's this super cool thing where you can upload photos, and from the photos, it'll be like, is this whale? Which, like, so say you took a picture of this humpback whale fluke, uploaded it and gave it an identification. And then I took it and I'm down the coast from you. Like, you took it in BC and I'm in Southern California, and I see this whale and I take a picture of it and upload it. It'll be like, oh, this whale was seen in BC also. And like, kind of like, you can track it. You can see where the whales are going. And it's so cool because you can like see all the whales on a worldwide global. You can see like there's certain whales that you can see where their exact migration is from. Like, obviously I'm doing in Australia, so I can see like from Southern Australia all the way up to like Tonga where they're going to breed. And like, it's so cool to be able to use the photos and like the software, to have this software developed that like looks at an image you upload and compares it to the entire database of this platform, and it's like, oh, it would be this whale because it has the same trailing edge or like shape of fluke, and it both has like this dot here. And like, it makes it super easy to match whales. Like, before I was scrolling, like I'd have one photo on one side of my screen and I'd be scrolling through like thousands of others being like, no match, no match, no match, no match. And you just like zone out after a while of doing that. Like, you're just like scrolling through whales because you're not even looking at them anymore. But this gives you like bite-sized options almost. Like, it's like, here, look at this, like this could be a match, and you get to be like yes or no. And it's so cool. Like, I genuinely want it to be the biggest thing ever because it's such a cool platform.
I love that. That's so cool. I like Happy Whale. I've never really used it because I don't ever get like nice tail shots, my little iPhone quality photos of whales. But I know a lot of people that do use it and will like post about the updates they get on their whales, and I think it's so cool.
You can also, like, my favorite part of it is you can like follow whales on it. So like, I have a favorite whale in New Brunswick. His name is Sedge. I love him so much. He's my like all-time favorite whale. I literally have him tattooed on me. He's a humpback whale, and he's got this like huge chunk missing out of his dorsal. And like, I just fell in love with him. He's like 30 years old and he's on Happy Whale. So I have like updates on him, and I get to see like whenever someone sees him, no matter like if they saw him down in like Dominican Republic or if they saw him in like Northern Canada and like all this stuff. And I get updates on him. Like, every so often I'll get an email. I was like, Sedge was spotted on this date. And I'm like, oh, I love you, Sedge. Like, it's just so cool that you can like pick a favorite whale almost. And like, they have really cool names.
I love it. I love that. The only whale I feel like I know enough is there's a whale out here named Slate. And I've now seen her 2 times, and with her calves. So she's had 2 calves and I've seen both of them. So I saw her when I first came in like 2019, and then I saw her this last summer with a new baby. I was like, girl, me and your friends.
Get it, girl. We love to see a woman thriving. There's one whale here. Her name is Salt. And I say, like, I was reading about her the other day. She's got like 4 generations now, which is so cool. Like, her calf has had a calf has had a calf kind of thing. And it's so cool to be able to know that. And I believe, I don't want to like quote this, but I believe they're all named after like seasonings, which I absolutely love. Like, I think there's like one named like paprika. I don't quote me on that. I just remember reading it and being like, that was so cool that they're all seasonings. But I love having favorite whales.
It's so fun. I love that. I like when the Whale Museum was naming Eclipse, she's still in resident, she had a calf. A lot of us were joking that they should all be Twilight names.
As they should. New Moon.
Instead of Lunar, they went with Dawn. Lunar, obviously. But yeah, someone said Breaking Dawn. Someone submitted Breaking Dawn for a name. And I was like, honestly, just ironically, that would be so funny if they were
I would love that.
I was like, oh my gosh. So I like when they have like themed names. So like Double Stuff was one, and then there was Oreo was another whale, so they were like, oh, and then Cookie was in that, so they had like cookie themed names.
Naming whales like when there's themes.
There's one in Monterey that was like a Star Wars name that I just was obsessed with. and I cannot remember what it was, but I loved it. Then there's one named Google.
I love when
Google has like the little white eye. That's really cute.
Cute. I love that. I love when it's something like about them that they get their name after. Like there's one minke whale, which my friends are going to make fun of me because I notoriously like say I hate minke whales. They're just like the most common whale around here. So like you're going to see a minke whale if you go out basically. Like you're like, and like, obviously if you've never seen a whale before, it's like, heck yeah, a minke whale. But when you're out every day, it's like, okay, a minke whale. I love them. But like, okay. There's one here that is just completely missing his dorsal fin. Like it's just gone. And his nickname is Slice. And I just love that. Like, I'm like, oh, my home Slice. Like, I love him.
That's so cute. We love our whales.
We love whales.
Love them.
I am, in fact, Whale Girl. That is my nickname.
Yeah. I see that. I understand. I agree.
I wish I had like my backdrop at my own house right now because it would be like literally there's whale. You know when you say you like one thing and your friends get you gifts only pertaining to that one thing?
Yeah.
That's my backdrop. Like I have one of my friends did a cross stitch of a whale for me. Two of my friends have painted me whales. Every time there's like a whale poster or whale picture, my friends will buy it and be like, this made me think of you. And I'm like, wow, I wonder why. That's so weird.
Weird. How did you guess?
You know I like whales. I love it.
Two more questions and then we'll let you go. What else do you happen to peruse the podcast world? I don't know, like
I don't know.
I feel like I've heard your voice before.
Shocker. I do have a podcast. It is called Water Women Podcast, which is super, super fun. This was born in, like, Water Women was born in January of 2020. So 2 years now, which is absolutely insane to me. And for 2 years straight, we've put out an episode every single Monday. And what Water Women started out as is like, I originally was like, I want to put some sort of content into the world. I love to share things. And I was kind of like, I toyed around with like a YouTube channel being like, day in my life of marine science. But I was like, I'm not that exciting to share my life. I go to school, I come home, I study. Sometimes I play basketball. Sometimes I ride horses, you know, just like super random stuff. So I was like, I don't want to share my personal life. There's enough of that out there. But I wanted it to be marine science. And I was like, well, I like to talk. I'm really good at that. If I'm good at anything, it's talking. And I like to learn. And I feel like women, like I just wanted to showcase the amazing women we had in the amazing different fields of marine science. And so I kind of was like, well, what if I had a podcast talking to women in different areas of marine science? And I shot a message to my boss from the whale watching boat. And I was like, hey, Nicole, do you want to sit down and be on a podcast with me and like talk about like the Bay of Fundy? And she was like, yeah, you know what? That'd be really fun. And so I was in my like childhood bedroom at my parents' house on my iPad, drew this like super like janky, like it was an outline of a woman swimming. And then it said like Water Women on it. And I uploaded it to Spotify, got everything set that night, recorded with her. We ended up recording in St. Andrews in this like tiny little cafe. It was the middle of January, so like no one was around. And we just talked for like an hour and a half. And I was like, okay, great. How do I edit this? Like, how do I do this? And ended up just like playing around with it and like posted it. And I was like, okay, I'm going to set some goals for myself if I'm going to do this seriously. And my goals were, I have them literally written down in a notebook, which is so cool to go back and look at, was post 10 episodes. I was like, I don't care how many listens I get. Like, I want to post 10 episodes, share 10 episodes. My second goal was like, get 200 listens. Like, if you're going to go crazy, like 200, that'd be insane. And then my third goal, I was like, okay, we're going to shoot big on this one. We're going to like, what would be the most unreal thing that could ever happen to us? And I was like, talk to Dr. Sylvia Earle, because the queen, the absolute queen of the ocean. And I ended up just like sending a lot of messages to my friends being like, hey, do you want to talk about what you do in marine science? Do you want to share that? And everyone was like, absolutely. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to reach out to some people like I don't know. Like I know like a lot of people in marine science, but now like I want to reach out to people I've never met before. And my second episode, I sent an email or I contacted, I was like Googling like women in ocean science and like women studying. My search history looks like that of a creep, honestly. It's like women studying whales, women studying coral, women studying, like, it just looks like I'm a creep a little bit. But I found Liv Williamson, who was studying corals, and I shot her a message like via her website. I was like, hey, I think you're so cool. Can you talk to me about this, like, on a podcast? And I was like, this woman's either going to say yes or think I'm crazy or both. But she sent me back an email, was like, absolutely. And so, like, I was like, okay, now I have to figure out how to record remotely. Like, what, like, definitely a big learning curve. And it kind of, like, the podcast kind of, like, grew a lot faster than I thought it would. Like, I started an Instagram before. I was like, okay, get 20 followers on the Instagram, we'll be happy. And it just, like, it picked up pace. Like, it never, like, it just, it went a lot faster than I thought it did or thought I would. It turned out people loved it and, like, wanted to hear stories of different women, like, got to share. And it grew so quickly, and I got to speak to so many cool women. Like, I learned so much in just these 2 years of, like, it almost happened perfectly because I was out of school. I didn't really have any like other school going on. I didn't have any, like, obviously I was working, but nothing like that was taking my full time. And I was like getting to still talk about the ocean and learn different things about the ocean, but in a way that was almost fun. Like, I find school sometimes I'm learning and I'm like, okay, I'm just learning this to be tested on it. I don't really care. But getting to talk to these women who were excited about the work they do and excited to share, it kind of made, like, it made me excited about things that I didn't care about. Like, I've had people come on. My friend Lauren was on the third episode, I think, and we talked about fish. As we've established, I don't really like fish, but hearing Lauren talk about her work with fish, I was like, this is so exciting. And like, it kind of captures you in a way of like hearing someone talk about what they're excited about makes you excited about it. And it grew, and I started kind of reaching out to people that I was like, this is really out of my comfort zone. This is really, like, I doubt I'll hear back from. Like, it just kind of, like, these, like, Jillian from Sharks for Kids and, like, larger creators that I was like, hey, I have this little podcast. Would you like to talk to me? And one day, I will never, this is genuinely the best day of my life. I was at my work. I work as a bartender. And I, like, it was a quiet day, so I was, like, on my phone, and I refreshed my email, and it was this woman. She was, like, hi, I would be interested, like, would you be interested in setting up a time to talk to Dr. Sylvia Earle? And I was, like, this is a joke. This has to be. There's no way this is real. Like, this is, like, someone's pranking me, 100%. And I ended up, like, emailing back, being, like, yes, sure, and set up a time with her, and I got to speak to Dr. Sylvia Earle, which was like, I never dreamed that would happen. Like, she knows I exist, which is mind blowing to me now. And that was when I was kind of like, whoa, like, this is real. This isn't just me talking to my computer, screaming into the void. This is me putting content out. This is me getting to talk to really cool people. And like, every single woman I have had on that podcast, or every single person, like, I thought it's always been called Water Women, but I've always tried to make it clear that it is for everyone. Like, there's no, like, everyone can listen, anyone can be on it. Like, it just, I like to share that. And every single person that I've had on that podcast has changed my life in some way. And it's just, I look back and it's so cool to have this, like, memorabilia of me learning things from friends. And like, I consider people that I've met on that, like, my personal friends. I always say to them, I'm like, okay, so like, we're friends now and you don't really get to say, like, you know, I'm stuck in your life now. And like, I always find something in common with it. And when me, you, and Jada are at, like, our little group chat now, just having fun talking about Marvel memes all the time. Like, it just, like, you I've made friends through that. And like, it has changed my life in such a big way. And it's always been kind of like a passion project. Like, it's never been, and I don't really ever intend to make it my full-time job, specifically because I love it so much that I don't want, like, I know that once I make it, or if I ever make it, like, a full-time, like, I have to do this, then it gets to the point where it's like, I don't want to, like, I can't. And right now, Water Women is on a bit of a hiatus break just because I was getting so busy with school and everything that I was like, okay, I need to take a minute, but we will definitely be back because I love it too much to ever let it go, for real.
I love how passionate you are about it. It's a great podcast. Everyone go listen.
It's fun, I think.
And thank you. And then now we're gonna get to the last two questions. The second to last is, what tip would you give to aspiring marine scientists, specifically people who want to work with marine mammals?
I feel this is always a big question. I always ask it to the people on my podcast, and it's like, they're always like, I don't know. And I'm like, I need an answer. I didn't realize how stressful it was. So I would like to apologize to everyone who's been on my podcast about asking this question. But I think the biggest tip in marine science in general, but specific to cetaceans and like marine mammals, is people are going to tell you that you can't, and not in a personal way. Like, they're not going to look at you and be like, no, you can't do that. It's a very competitive field. Like, it is 100% incredibly competitive, for sure. And it's going to be, and it should be. But just because it's competitive doesn't mean you can't do it. Like, it just means you're going to have to work a little harder. You're going to have to really want it. Like, you can't go into studying marine mammals just kind of being like, yeah, I kind of think they're cool. Like, you're like, maybe this is what I want to do. Like, you really have to be able to go for it and be like, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to study. This is it. Because it is going to be competitive, but you just have to be able to put the work in and like show that you want it. Because if it comes down to you and someone who might have better grades than you, but is just kind of like, yeah, I think marine mammals are cool. From my experience, people are going to go with those that are passionate and like want to work with the animals and like want, like have that drive, have that passion, and can share it and put the work in when it's not fun. And then the same kind of goes for just marine science in general, is like make sure it's what you want to do. Because if it's what you want to do, then you can go for it and you'll feel less, like, I don't want to say less pressure, because there's always the pressure, but like, if it's something you really want to do, then you can do it. That's really the only, the sentiment of it is like, if you want to do it, do it. And along with that, like, never be afraid to message someone who you think their work is cool or you want to do something along the same lines with them. Like, people in this field are so willing to talk about what they do. All of us want to talk about what we do. It's our favorite thing to do, is if someone asks you a question about like, what do you study? You're like, let's go, I'm ready to talk. And the worst thing they're going to do is be like, sorry, I'm busy. Like, I can't. But like, just reach out to people. If you're interested in their line of work, more than likely they're going to share with you and like talk to you, which is like super great about this field, I think, because it feels, in a way, it can be like super cutthroat, but also it's super supportive. Like, it's competitive, but supportive.
Yeah. Right on. I love it. I love that. And lastly, I guess this isn't technically a question, but this, I said it was, but anyway, plug anything you want to plug. If there's like a conservation organization, Water Women, I don't know if you want people to like go check that out or something.
Absolutely, I do.
Stuff like that. But yeah, so just plug anything you want to plug.
I think the biggest organization I have to plug right now is Humpbacks and High Rises. The work they're doing and the data they're collecting is truly amazing and is laying the foundation for conservation of humpback whales, specifically in Australia, but in general, it's laying such a good foundation for it. And obviously, I'm a little biased. I am part of it, but also I'm friends with it. Sarah, Olaf, Holly, all the people working for it, absolutely amazing people who are so passionate about what they do. So go check them out. I believe that if you just search Humpbacks and High Rises, their websites, social medias will come up for sure. In terms of me, absolutely go check out Water Women. There are so many cool women and you can learn so much. I think we've covered on Water Women every topic from like large scale macrofauna down to like minuscule pinafores and microorganisms, kelp, even like ocean physics. Like, there is like anything you could possibly be interested in, we have someone who has talked about it. So you can check that Water Women out on Facebook and Instagram at Water Women Podcast and on Twitter at Water Women Pod. We're obviously not active right now, but we will be back. So go check us out, go follow along there. And then for me, you can find me on social media. I share my life like in general, but a lot of marine water-based stuff for sure. And my Instagram is JillX15, so 15. So JillX15.
Perfect. And everything will be linked below or in the description of the podcast. So I'll do Humpbacks and High Rises. I'll also do Happy Whale, just people can check it out.
Oh, yeah.
And Happy Whale, of course. the Water Women pages and your page, so anyone can find amazing. Everything that they need there. And amazing. Yeah, that's it. Thank you for joining us on Intertidal Talks.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited about this.
Thank you for re-recording.
It's weird to be on the other end, like, not asking the questions. I feel like I should be asking you the questions. I feel naked almost.
Well, I think I have an episode on Water Women. So if people want to hear me talk, they want to hear our voices swapped, they can check that out. And Stream Sour by Olivia Rodrigo.
Stream Anything by Taylor Swift and Nothing by Harry Styles. Choose mom.
No. Jill's wrong. You stream Harry Styles and you can also stream Taylor Swift, but like you stream Harry Styles more. That's where we differ. I went
with mom in the divorce. You went with dad. It's fine. We're separated.
I think Jada may be with me. So
Jada went with you and I was offended when I saw her TikTok. I was hurt genuinely and felt like my two sisters had chosen a different side.
Me and Jada chose Mr. Fruit Man.
Oh, I do love Fruit Man, even though he does hate Canada.
I know.
With Harry Styles.
I'm like tweeting every, like he announced new dates this morning and I was like, excuse me.
What about Canada?
Canada.
Sir.
None of us came to like the US. I don't think yet. I didn't go to any of the US shows. Hello?
Fruit Man, hate Canada.
You gotta reschedule for us, man. And I don't want just an HS3 tour. I want an HS2 tour and an HS3 tour. I want both. I don't want one. Gimme. I'm selfish.
I am in fact a Swiftie. That if you retain anything from this podcast, it is that I am a Swiftie. That is all. That's the only important personality trait I have.
I don't know if what Harry Styles fans are called. Is there a name? Harry's, I guess.
Harry's?
I think it's Harry's. Mr. Fruitman Cult. I think it's Harry's. Sure I prefer Mr. Fruitman Cult. Okay.
I also have a hot take. I love Niall more than Harry.
That was me. No, I
I'm
love
gonna get
Niall.
Myself canceled here.
No, of like the One Direction boys, Niall was my favorite. I also really like his first album.
It's so Heartbreak Weather also fantastic.
They're good. They're really pretty. I just like the vibe. They're just pretty. I think he has a nice voice.
Everyone listening to this is like, what does Niall Horan have to do with the ocean? Well, nothing, he does. It's because he's gonna marry
because
me.
We like the ocean and then we like Harry and Niall, the superior. I don't like any of the other ones' music. Is that
I liked one song from Liam and then I was like, he's actually not.
Is it like the one that was on the radio?
Like Strip That Down, yeah. Literally the one that was like the most popular song. And I was like, wow, do I like this because I like it or because I hear it all the time?
I don't like, I guess Zayn's radio songs I know, but I'm not like, ooh, Zayn. And then I don't like any of Louis.
The only song from Zayn I could name is the one with Taylor Swift. That's the
I
only one.
I just think
one.
Of Pillow Talk.
Don't Want to Live Forever. It's from like 50. I forgot about that one. I don't like it.
I think Liam or Louis has the has one song I liked. Louis Tomlinson. I'm Googling it. Yeah, back to you. That one was fine.
Okay, I haven't listened to any of Louis' songs, so I will have to change that.
Yeah, you have to listen and let me know. I really wasn't vibing. Wasn't my thing.
Oh, no.
So far, I loved like every Harry Styles one. But yeah, anyway. So this is a great way to end the podcast.
Doesn't have any misses? All Good Bops is a Taylor Swift. At the end.
I think Better Man is my favorite from The Red.
Don't even get me started. I cried to All Too Well on my drive home today.
A whole separate.
Have I been in a relationship or broken up with in the past 5 years? No.
You just feel it.
Nope. Do I relate to it?
You
not
called
at
me
all.
Up again.
Nope.
Just to break me like
break
a promise.
Break me like a promise.
So tragically cruel.
Anyway,
in
we
the
hate
name
Jake
of being honest.
We hate Jake Gyllenhaal. This is a Jake Gyllenhaal hate page.
Boom.
At Jake Gyllenhaal. I am holding a knife right now.
it was sitting on the desk, a teeny little pocket knife.
Listen, it was sitting here. I live in the back, in the middle of nowhere, okay? I don't know why my dad has this.
I love it. Be a great way to end the podcast. Stream good music.
Truly.
And
love.
Yeah, if we're just to finish, there's a rumor that maybe we'll get new Harry Styles music like next week. Or this year. I personally don't think it's gonna happen. And if it does, I think it might be a single near the end of the year, not on his birthday like everyone's predicting.
Yeah, I can see that happening.
Because he's got two movies and now the tour in South America and the UK or Europe. I guess it's all of Europe.
So, is he a Pisces? When's his birthday?
I don't know. Let me Google it.
Fruitman's fake birthday. Fan.
I can't think of the day. I just know it's in February.
Oh, Harry Styles'
birthday. He's February 1st.
Oh, he would be an Aquarius.
So there's that. So I personally am in the camp. I'm in the camp that there won't be one. And if a single does come out, it'll be near the end of the year. So we'll see if I'm wrong.
I'm in the camp then. I'm in the camp that I'm waiting for Taylor Swift.
Oh, just like drop.
I hope you're right.
Speak now.
No, I hope you're wrong so you get new music. Oh.
I hope you're right. No, I can't
wait for 1989. I want 1989. I want Rep, but.
Oh, I feel like Rep's still gonna wait. But
my soapbox. I'm gatekeeping debut album. That is one of my all-time favorite albums. There's not a single skip on that album, and it does not get nearly enough love, and people are going to love it when it's re-released, but I want to put this out here. I am an OG stan.
Jill is an OG Swiftie.
We love
everyone.
We love. I have a Speak Now t-shirt from that tour. Just love it.
I want Speak Now to be next because I like the Speak Now album a lot.
It's a good album.
That's my only drive. I love that they got the Taylor Lautner apology song. Then John Mayer is going to get the heat, and I hate John Mayer.
I'd rather Jake Gyllenhaal than John Mayer. That's a hot take.
Literally, me too. I like Jake Gyllenhaal. I hate John Mayer. And there's
Jake Gyllenhaal at least has the forgiveness of having a good face.
I was also.
John Mayer looks like he's going to cry.
I was also a huge Katy Perry fan growing up. Huge.
Interesting.
And huge Katy Perry fan. Like I had a bracelet, an infinity bracelet that said Katy Cat. I'm not kidding. I was a huge Katy Perry fan. And they broke up. I also just hated him even when they were dating. I was so mad. I hated him.
Just title this podcast, We Hate John Mayer.
Literally, We Hate John Mayer featuring Humpback Whales. Maybe. The last one was like the last one was literally Stream Sour Rodrigo featuring Humpbacks. I think that's what I had it titled, and I never did it.
Amazing.
So this one's amazing. We Hate John Mayer featuring Humpback Whales.
Featuring Humpback.
Featuring. They obviously carry or Mom and Dad's
titles one. Title of this one: Mom and Dad's Divorce. Which side are you on?
Divorced children and Humpback Whales. They were like, oh, she's gonna be talking, they're gonna talk about like her divorce and how that like impacted her life, and like literally up until the end there's not a single word of divorce, then all of a sudden it's Harry Styles.
Taylor Swift. They're gonna be like, okay,
oh, that's they're crazy. We need the stickers that are like, I'm a child of divorce for all of our cars.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, me, you, and Jada. But like, you and hers has like Harry Styles colored in, and mine has Taylor Swift colored in.
Yeah, you chose mom. We see you on holidays.
Sometimes I choose mom on holidays. Have you heard Christmas Tree Farm?
I love Christmas. But like, me and Jada get to hang out with her. So
yeah, that's a valid one.
Boom.
I stand by my choice. I stand by. See, there's a 13 behind me.
It's okay.
Amazing.
Perfect. Well, thank you for coming on this podcast and talking about.
Thank you.
Whales and celebrities.
This is like my dream come true, getting to talk about whales and celebrities. One get us started on Bucky and Steve, please.
No, don't. I'm actually gonna send you a bunch of stuff now that I saved on my phone that I don't think I've sent to our group chat. But perfect. Okay, we're gonna go. And thank you all for listening.
Airing ourselves out here from you and Jada having a strictly Marvel group chat.
Whoops. Yeah, no, it's a real problem. And so now Harry Styles is in Marvel, so we're like completely feral.
Literally, when that came on the screen, now Jada and Kenny are gonna love this.
Yeah, I was like, oh my god, and my husband was like, please.
You know, this sounds like when worlds collide.
I was like, look at how big he is on the screen. Mr. Policeman, I'm gonna go feral. And then Don't Worry Darling comes out in September, and I'm seeing it for my birthday, and it's Florence Pugh and Harry Styles. I'm literally foaming at the mouth. I'm in love with both of them.
Amazing.
I love Florence Pugh. Cooking with Flo. Midsommar is like one of my favorite movies of all time. She's also amazing as Lady Macbeth. I love her. Queen.
She's also in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So we stand.
Yelena Queen. Queen.
Chef's kiss as a human.
So we could watch some Kiss. I'm not ready.
New mom and dad. That's stepmom.
I want it.
I support it.
Give it to me.
I love stepmom. That is disgusting.
Give it to me now. Yeah.
My entire personality is, in fact, just quoting TikToks is getting to be an issue.
It is. No, that's me too. I was. Okay. We're actually going to go this time, and we're going to have more conversations off recording. I was going to say off screen, recording. But this is a recording. But yeah, thank you all for listening. If you enjoyed the marine science part of this, love it. Keep listening to this podcast and listen to her podcast. If you loved the Marvel and celebrity ramblings, check us out on social media, especially on Twitter. But
honestly, join our group chat.
Yeah, maybe we just make like a massive marine science plus Harry Styles fans plus Taylor Swift fans plus Marvel fans group chat. Very specific niche of people.
Very niche group.
You have to like all of them. You don't get to pick one. All of them.
No. You have to like all. Done. Yeah,
we'll see you all or see you all. You'll hear me on the next episode. How do you sign up? What do you say?
Never.
We'll talk next episode, y'all. We'll have another little chat. We'll have someone else on, or maybe it'll just be me gabbing away by myself. Who knows? We'll see what happens. You guys stay tuned. It's real mystery. That's what's fun about these things.